We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, it's Wednesday, so that means we have made it halfway through the week. Glad you're with us. I'm Scoot. We may not agree on everything today, but hey, come on, let's have a good time. And in fact, we're going to talk about more about Ellen and George W. Bush being together, because I really thought that was just a really interesting microcosm for the world that we live in today and how negatively people reacted to Ellen sitting next to George W. Bush and apparently laughing with him. And, you know, for those who say that it's the right that has no tolerance, let's look at this moment as a case where the left had no tolerance for a liberal sitting next to a former Republican president. We'll get into that in just a little while. Bobby Abe, the Cajun Cannon, says the Saints might be the best in the NFL. And, you know, when I passed him in the hall yesterday when I was leaving, going back to my office, and he was heading into the studio, he said, hey, Scoot, the Saints, man, they're winning in the trenches. And that's what this is all about. There's an article on our website, WWL.com, about Bobby Hebert's observation of the Saints. And this weekend is just going to be a huge game. ESPN Game Day, College Game Day, is going to be live on the LSU campus. And it's Florida and LSU, two top 10 ranked teams, two powerful teams in the SEC going at it. And Florida's coach Dan Mullen says that LSU quarterback Joe Burrow may be the best they've seen this year. And also LSU is going to face maybe the best defense that they've seen this year in Florida. So, I mean, what a game it's going to be. Undefeated Florida, undefeated LSU, Tiger Stadium, 7 o'clock. It's going to feel like fall. It's almost an ideal situation, and certainly will be an ideal situation if LSU wins the game. Hey, have you heard the latest on Matt Lauer? Wow. Matt Lauer says it's not true, but there's a book out. Rowan Farrow has written a book, and somebody got a hold of some of it, and apparently, I'm not going to go into details here, but there are some details given even in this article. The book is called Catch and Kill. And Farrell was the one who was the journalist who exposed Harvey Weinstein as a sexual predator. And he's also done some work on the Matt Lauer story. Matt Lauer says it was extramarital, but it was consensual. And the victim is claiming anal rape when they were at the Olympics in Sochi, Russia. So, look, when I heard about this, without going into detail, there's a special song that we're going to dedicate to Matt Lauer coming up in the next hour. Now, I'm going to warn you right now, if you don't have a sense of humor, you shouldn't be listening to this show, because we do talk about some serious stuff, but we never surrender our right to use the First Amendment to have fun. A Trump supporter waves a gun at a woman after she saw the woman with an Elizabeth Warren bumper sticker on her vehicle. Rolled down the window, the guy yelled at the woman, gesturing toward the bumper sticker, Trump 2020, toward his bumper sticker, Trump 2020. This is part of what we'll talk about in the first hour. This idea that we're so intolerant of each other that somebody can't drive by with a bumper sticker on another car, and with a person that you don't like, and you're going to gesture with a gun, you're going to wave a gun at the person like you're going to kill. I'm going to kill you. I mean, think about how patriotic this is. You want to vote for Elizabeth Warren? I'm going to kill you. I mean, that's essentially what this says. You cannot be an American patriot and have this attitude. It's impossible. There are Christians who call themselves Christians that really aren't Christians, and there are patriots in this country right now who call themselves patriotic Americans, and they are not. Because one of the first things that you have to understand to be a patriotic American is you have to understand, like, really the basic, just really the basic meaning of the First Amendment. Also, later in the show, I want to talk about a letter that is apparently from a Penn State alum criticizing one of the Nittany Lion players, calling his dreadlocks disgusting. The letter was to Penn State safety Jonathan Sutherland, and it read in part, "Surely there must be mirrors in the locker room. Don't you have parents or girlfriend who've told you shoulder-length dreadlocks look disgusting and are certainly not attractive?" And the letter comes from, apparently, a Pennsylvania native, Dave Peterson. A couple of Sutherland's teammates commented on the letter, posted the letter, and suggested that criticizing the player's dreadlocks was racist. Peterson says it wasn't racist, but he is disgusted when he sees dreadlocks on football players and doesn't like the tattoos on college and NFL players and NBA players as well. So later in the show, let's talk about whether or not dreadlocks and tattoos on college and NFL players is sending some kind of wrong message to America. This guy's longing for the days of the clean-cut athlete. And I got to tell you, if my dad were alive today, my dad would probably be cheering this guy on. Because my dad would hate the dreadlocks. My dad would hate the long hair. I mean, my dad hated my hair most of my life. And I mean, it got to a point where he couldn't tell me what to do with it. So I did what I wanted. And he didn't like it. I mean, look, I loved my dad. And he loved me, unconditionally. But we didn't agree on everything. So my dad might actually agree with this guy. But I mean, do you think anything at all when you see dreads or long hair on a player? What about Trevor Lawrence, this unbelievable quarterback for the Clemson Tigers? Man, this guy is like a prototype pro quarterback in waiting. And any team that gets him is going to get one hell of a quarterback. I mean, the guy's like, what, 6'6 or something like this? I mean, he's like unbelievably built to be a quarterback. So anyway, none of that stuff bothers me because it's a reflection of society. And by the way, society has changed. And there are people who are being brought into reality kicking and screaming because they don't like this, they don't like that. President Trump has 51% of the support in Louisiana. And that's really not a surprise. I think it's around 58% of the men and 45% of the women. But that leaves an awful lot of people who don't support President Trump. And so that's one of the reasons why this show does so well. And why we have the audience we have. It's because there are a lot of people out there who don't want to listen to a radio show that sucks up to President Trump. And there's a lot of that on the air. So I'm being true to my feelings as an independent who votes for Republicans and Democrats. As a maverick moderate, I'm being true to myself. But I know that my attitude reflects the attitudes of a lot of people. And even if it doesn't reflect your attitude, I mean, this is America. And it's okay if we disagree. So Ellen addressed criticism of her for sitting with and laughing with former Republican President George W. Bush. And it brings to mind the question, why is political tolerance so unacceptable to so many Americans? We're going to talk about that. I wrote a blog about this. We'll talk about this when we come back. You know, I realize that the entertainment value of conflict is, I guess, greater than the idea of political tolerance. And so when it comes to the cable news channels, when it comes to talk radio, political conflict is more entertaining than political tolerance. But I still think there's a way to have a great, passionate political conversation, believe in what you believe in, but also understand that we are Americans first. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back. This is WWL. You know, we started talking about it yesterday, but I want to get into it a little deeper today. Just the symbol of what is represented. by the criticism of Ellen sitting next to former President George W. Bush. The criticism of her, a gay liberal, sitting next to a Republican president, a former Republican president. We're going to get to that here in just a moment. And part of the conversation should be about the people that we see in the media, the people that we see, that we probably disagree with some people that we really think might be kind of nice people. I mean, I said it to him when he was sitting in the studio the other day. I don't agree with Steve Scalise on a lot of things, but I really like the guy. And we really do have plans to go to 80s night one night on a Thursday night because he loves music from the 80s and remembers listening to me years ago. So I would have a blast, even though we disagree politically on a lot of things. I would enjoy going to 80s night with Steve Scalise. I mean, we're not going to dance with each other or anything like that, but, you know, we'll go and have have a good time. So there are people that we disagree with politically that we might actually enjoy having coffee with or having dinner, having a drink, just spending some time with. And I want you to think about somebody that you really disagree with, but yet you admit that you know, look, I think this would probably be a nice person to hang out with. From Slidell, Tom, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to tell you the tale about my lesson in tolerance. I moved years ago in my travel trailer to a campground in a very redneck section of Louisiana, me being a channel rat from the Irish Channel section of New Orleans. I didn't discuss politics or religion with my neighbors. I knew they were probably a little different than I, but I learned to communicate with them on a human level. The thing to do around there was to gather on weekends at a local pavilion, bring your instruments and play bluegrass music. Now, as a blues man, but I quickly learned to play some bluegrass. We had a ball together. The wives would cook. The men would cook up a whole pig. We'd party all weekend out in the woods. And I learned to love these people. The wives were all perfect angels. There was one man that never did get to like me. I think he just sensed I was from New Orleans. Other than that, the rest of the men took me on as pals and brothers. After about 4 months, one of the locals turned me on to the fact that I was playing music with the Ku Klux Klan.
Wow.
Now, I was a civil rights worker in the late 60s. So you can imagine where I was on the political spectrum.
Sure.
But we formed a bond.
And explain that bond if you can, because obviously if you're a former civil rights worker and you have the views that you have and you're doing something recreational with Klansmen, man, you vehemently disagree with their ideology.
Oh, absolutely. But that did not come up. We were there to enjoy music. I found that bluegrass music is very similar in construction to our own traditional jazz. Each instrument takes a turn. We had a lot of fun with that. We'd go around the room. Everybody would take a little ride. And that was very refreshing for me to find that bond. The food, we bonded over the barbecue that we did every weekend. And I liked the people on a personal basis.
And do you feel like that feeling was reciprocal? Did they like and accept you as well?
I was accepted, except for the one man that did not accept me. The rest of them all did, and we became friends. And you know, later on, of course, discovering where they stood, it kind of turned me off. But we continued to play music together. And we continued to enjoy each other.
Tom, it's a great story, and I appreciate you sharing that with us, man. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Let me get to a couple of these texts that have just come in early in the show. This text says, let's get one thing straight, little man. Being a patriotic American has nothing to do with the Constitution. Well, first of all, you don't know me well enough to call me a little man. Secondly, I'd like to know what your criteria is for determining what is a little man. And the other thing that really stands out in my mind is that I am literally thanking God that this is just this person's opinion and it's not a fact. And I thank God that I have the opportunity to get on the air and use the Constitution to say this person is wrong. And that part of being a patriotic American is understanding the Constitution and the foundation upon which this country was built. Here's a text that says, Scoot, you unfairly painted the Trump supporter as a violent person for waving a gun. Warren wants to take guns away. He was showing her why he supports Trump. You don't know that. I mean, how do you know that? Do you know the guy? And if you're just tuning in, first of all, once again, too sensitive. Oh my God, Scoot is saying that Trump supporters are violent. I didn't say that. But what I did report is that a Trump supporter waved a gun at a woman after seeing an Elizabeth Warren bumper sticker on her vehicle. Now, maybe he was trying to say, Elizabeth Warren wants to take away your guns, which, by the way, if she becomes president, she's not going to take away your guns. So worry about something that is really going to happen and not that. But the other thing is this: the oversensitivity in America today. It's like, maybe this guy's violent. Do you know that there are Trump supporters who are violent? Do you know that there are some Democrats who are violent? Man, this idea that, oh my God, you better not say anything about my person. It really is basically what we're going to talk about this hour. Social media reacted to the sight of Ellen DeGeneres sitting next to former President George W. Bush in Jerry Jones' suite at the Packers-Cowboys game in Texas. People expressed anger at Ellen for appearing to enjoy sitting next to the former president. At one point during the broadcast, the cameras focused on Ellen and Bush laughing together. And this drew criticism from those who felt like Ellen was bonding with the enemy. In the aftermath of the criticism of her moment with George W. Bush, Ellen addressed the controversy in her monologue on our talk show. Here's part of what she had to say.
I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that that's okay that we're all different.
It is okay. And she further explained that she was surprised that people wanted to know why a gay Hollywood liberal was sitting next to a conservative Republican president. Ellen seemed surprised by the negative reaction to her seemingly moment of enjoyment with former Republican President George W. Bush. And she defiantly defended the idea that we can be friends with people who have different opinions than ours. It's okay to be different. On this show, I often talk about the new reality that America has been reduced to a nation of fierce political tribalism. And we literally see each other first as the enemy, rather than accept the premise that we're all Americans first. The true tragedy of the political divide is that judgment and condemning fellow Americans because of their political opinions is inherently un-American. Ellen should be applauded for demonstrating what it really means to be an American. She admits she was friendly with President Bush. And yes, they did have a laugh together. So why is that wrong? The criticism of Ellen for spending time with a former Republican president in the suite of an NFL owner at an NFL game speaks to the overzealous loyalty that many feel to their political tribe. You know, we no longer have political parties. We have political tribes. And Americans show their tribal loyalty by attacking any member of the opposing tribe. The reaction to Ellen sitting next to George W. Bush at a football game is one moment, but it really serves as a microcosm of modern-day politics. Ellen made a great point when she addressed her audience and said, "When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean be kind to the people who think the same way you do. I mean be kind to everybody. It's easy to be kind to those who you agree with. It's more difficult to be kind to everybody, but that should be our challenge. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them. But the degree of hate that we see today is un-American. But yet, I don't know that it's going to change." One person tweeted, and this reflects the feelings of many of us. The tweet said, "Ellen and George Bush together makes me have faith in America again." And while I understand that confrontations between political tribes is a compelling element in the daily drama of the cable news channels and talk radio across the country, at some point, we should look at each other and realize that America was built on passionate political discourse. But America was not built on the political hate that now defines this great nation. Hating someone consumes a lot more energy than loving someone. And I'm sure you've noticed this in your life. We often criticize the politicians for creating the atmosphere of partisan hate. But I'm going to suggest that the politicians reflect we, the American people. When you look into the mirror, it's easy to criticize the reflection you see. But the mirror only has the power to reflect back that which is looking into it. And so it is with the leaders of both political parties that they reflect our desire to be divided as a country. We send them the message that we want them to fight the partisan fight. We want them to be divided. We don't want them to get along because we want them to stand up for our political tribe. And even if you don't actually do it, at least think of a leader of the opposing tribe and admit that it would be interesting, maybe even fun, to share a social moment with them and not even think about their political ideology. That's what Ellen did when she shared that friendly moment with former Republican President George W. Bush. And for those on the left who think that it's only the right that displays intolerance, let's remember that in the case of Ellen and Bush, it was the left that put their intolerance on display. Ellen also said, "Thanks, President Bush and Laura Bush, for a Sunday afternoon that was so fun. By the way, you owe me $6 for the nachos." Ellen had also showed something that they had very, very personal thing. Ellen and George W. Bush were both there with their wives. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870 and our text is 870-870. I love having this conversation because I'm trying to add a compelling element to radio and to the media that speaks to this idea that, you know, it's okay for us to be different. It's okay for us to have differing opinions. And I know there are people who tune into me every afternoon, and they don't like me. I mean, they might like me, but they don't like what I stand for. They don't like my opinions. And when I get texts like this, and I do get texts, "Well, you know, you suck. I don't like your opinion." That's fine. You have a choice in this country. You have the freedom to not listen to this show. Nobody forces you to listen to this show. But I think that this show does serve as a punching bag, if you will, for some people who love to tune in to disagree. And that's okay. I also want you to think about the person that you disagree with politically, vehemently disagree with them politically, but yet it might be fun to have a cup of coffee, have a beer, have lunch or dinner with them. Who is that person in your life, regardless of which side they're on? There's somebody that you don't really like politically. You hate them politically, but hey, it might be fun to spend some time with them. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. It's Wednesday afternoon, heading into a great weekend with a lot going on. It's going to be a beautiful fall-like weekend. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back. Yeah, I mean, I know this is kind of a corny cliche, you know, united we stand, divided we fall, but it's true. Here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll question. Is the entertaining value of conflict greater than the idea of political tolerance? 53% say yes, and 47% say no. I have to admit, I'm talking against political intolerance, but I understand that there is entertainment value in conflict. And so with this show, we try to create some degree of compelling conflict in the fact that I disagree with those who want to create conflict all the time. I'm with the 53% on this, though, because conflict is more entertaining than political tolerance. The blog that I wrote for our website is at WWL.com. It's titled, Ellen and Bush sitting at a game, L-I-U-G-H-I-N-G. So you can check that out and share it with us. I'll put it on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air, a little bit later, and you can react to that. And if you haven't decided to join me, why don't you hang out on the Facebook page, do some stuff live, do some videos, just to post some things. And there always are very interesting conversations and interesting comments going on there. Suzanne, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How are you?
I'm good.
So I just wanted to tell you my thoughts on the whole Ellen DeGeneres and President Bush encounter. I thought it was wonderful. I love it. And I'm a Republican. I'm a Trump supporter. But I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Well, you know, I don't know why people would. Well, no, we do know. You and I do know why people have a problem with that. It's because they've become part of a political tribe. And it's not even a political party anymore. Not that the parties were ever really that much fun. But it's now more about tribalism where, you know, you just no matter what, you dislike the person who's part of the other tribe. Kind of like the man that whipped out a gun and waved a gun at a woman he saw that had an Elizabeth Warren bumper sticker on her car. And he pointed to his bumper sticker, Trump 2020. You know, I mean, we can disagree, but you're going to pull out a gun and wave a gun at somebody because they have the bumper sticker of somebody who is running, who may end up running against your candidate. You know, it's all part of it. Suzanne, I appreciate the call. You got a comment. Our number is 260-1870 and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, Scoot, Steve Scalise doesn't like you. He uses your show. And when has he ever reached out to you outside of your show? Steve Scalise is very busy, and so am I. And the fact that we haven't done something together outside of the show doesn't mean that he doesn't like me. It doesn't mean we're personal friends, but I think the guy likes me, and I like him. And when I started doing some video shows on YouTube and my website, Scoot on the Air, he agreed to do the first one with me. He went out of his way to do that. And so he has made gestures. And at some point, we will get together. And if he does hate me, and if he is using me, at some point, I'll realize that. But I refuse to believe that. From Atlanta, Wendy, welcome to WWL.
I'm a hoodat, but, you know, don't judge me where I live.
Well, okay.
No, I am. I'm a born and raised hoodat. I actually split my time between here and home in New Orleans. I'm more of a radical moderate like you. I used to be on the far left when I was young and rebellious, but, you know, you evolve with age. Open lesbian. And I applaud Ellen DeGeneres for her friendship and for defending it with the president, because I think it takes an open-minded, confident person to put that out there and know that you're going to catch some blowback. You know, nothing, Scoot, really gets me more angry than people within a disenfranchised group that are intolerant of others.
Right.
Like, there are some gays, for example, who are just so intolerant. Not everybody, a few. You got a few in every group who are just so intolerant. And I'm like, aren't you judging people and being intolerant? For, you know, and you are the first to be defensive when people judge you and are intolerant against you.
Exactly. And that, there's the hypocrisy. It's like they're one of the reasons that they're standing up for who they are is because they're fighting intolerance, but yet then they display intolerance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I get it.
You know, I was going to also say really quick that the fact that I have a very close friend who is a staunch conservative Republican, one of my best friends for the last couple of decades. We love each other, really have a good time together. We respect each other's political convictions. We may not agree. I don't agree with her. She's a Trump supporter. We don't talk politics, but you know what? That makes up a tiny part of who she is on a whole, just like my sexual orientation makes up a tiny part of who I am a whole. And if we open our minds and understand one another, and as Ellen says, be kind to one another, that's the only way forward, I think, for where we are right now as a society.
Wendy, I totally agree, and I appreciate you streaming our show in Atlanta. Glad you're with us, and we do welcome those of you who are streaming the show, listening on radio.com, or streaming the show from WWL.com, our website. Those of you who are streaming on your phones, your tablets, and your computers, you are part of the show as well, and thanks for being there. All right, if you want to join us with your comment, our number is 260-1870. Again, our text is 870-870. Today is John Lennon's birthday. John Lennon would have been 79 years old today, born on this day in 1940. And you know, they were trying to deport John Lennon. Think about this. If John Lennon had been deported, he might be alive today. I mean, that's kind of sad. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Good afternoon. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. Here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Is the entertaining value of conflict greater than the idea of political tolerance? 55% say yes, 45% say no. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. Have a code word coming up. I'm about to give you a chance to win a cool grand in our free cash giveaway as part of our Intercom National Cash Contest. That is coming up just moments from now. If you're on hold and you want to just hang on, I'll get to your calls coming up in the next hour. Also, I got a text last hour from somebody that said, being a patriotic American has nothing to do with the Constitution, and I'm getting a lot of response to that. We'll make that part of our conversation next hour. The code word this hour is honey. Text H-O-N-E-Y to 72881. Text honey to 72881. Next code word is coming up right before the top of the hour news at 3 o'clock, and we never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. Please never text and drive. If you're just tuning in, we're talking more about Ellen being criticized for sitting next to and laughing with former President George W. Bush in Jerry Jones's suite at the Cowboys-Packers game. Why the criticism of a gay liberal from Hollywood sitting next to a former Republican president? Can we not even associate with each other anymore? We'll continue the conversation when we come back on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.